Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great honor we have to come to fellowship with you, and particularly for me to share your word. I recognize that it is the word of the Most High God, and I am incapable on my own, Lord, to bring forth, Lord, the treasures of this word by myself. So, Lord, I need you. I humble myself under your mighty hand. I ask you for fresh mercy. Anoint my heart and my lips. Let your word flow out of me, Lord, like streams of living water. Let it come forth with purity, Lord, with the desire to honor you and to bring glory to my fathers. Let it come forth with power, with clarity and accuracy, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, so that it will inspire us and encourage us to press in, Lord, within the veil, and to lay hold upon all that you have in store for us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I pray that for us all, including myself, that our wills be more submitted to your will, that our minds be more illuminated with revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit, that our emotions be further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so we be more like Jesus in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that as your word goes forth under the covering of our fathers, let yokes be broken. Let, Lord, areas of captivity, let heavy the yokes be undone. Let it be broken by the anointing that is in the air in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, let blind eyes be opened. Deaf ears be unstopped. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us to be doers of the things that we hear and not hearers only, so that, Lord God, your glory will increase in our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're also praying for a mercy for me to be faithful. Lord, as a steward, to keep to time, to redeem the time, to say only those things that you would have me say. Lord, as a scribe instructed into the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things old and new. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our Bible, today is School of the Spirit, and today God has put a word in my heart. The glory is rising. The glory is rising. And that's the title of it. Glory is rising, amen. The Bible says, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. The Bible puts it in past tense. So the glory is risen in the sense that by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, the Holy Spirit is the glory of God. The Bible calls it the glory of the Father. So he is the one that dispenses and administers the glory of God. But glory is actually a substance. Glory is a substance. It's a mixture of life, light, and love. Amen. So it comes from the Hebrew word doxa, which connotes something apparent. So when you see the glory, you know. Amen. When it's manifest. You know, and the Bible uses the term, you know, brightness, magnificence. Even the Bible says Jesus Christ is the brightness of his glory in Hebrews 1 verse 3. So it means that Jesus made the glory of God manifest. And you and I are also going to make it manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. So glory is a substance that is inside God. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the spirit of glory in 1 Peter 4:14. We're not going to turn there. And the Bible says that we look into with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. That glass is the word of God. It's a mirror, because we see ourselves in the mirror of the word, isn't it? Amen. So when we see ourselves in that mirror, then the Holy Spirit, as we behold that mirror, translates us to the revelation image that you are seeing in the mirror. Amen. So he says, we have changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is the work that the Spirit of God does. Amen. That's why Jesus said, it's better for me to go and for him to come, you know, so that he will lead you and guide into actually the glory of God. Amen. Right. So, and we see an example in Mark chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. Actually, if you look at, let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 1 very quickly. Mark 9, 1 to 3. Thank you. Right. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And if you look at the discourse from Mark 8, verse 38, he's talking about the fact that what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Amen. The Bible says, if you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed. Look at the last verse, Mark 8, 38. Because, you know, like Pastor often teaches us, the scripture was not written in chapter and verse. It was put there for reference purposes. So you see the thought. Thank you very much. Says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. So that's the discourse. It's talking really about the fact that, you know, we need to take heed to the word of God. We need to obey the word of God. And it will take us into the glory of God. That's the sense in which he now says, Mark chapter 9 verse 1. That there be some here that will see the kingdom of God manifest with power. Okay? So we see, look at the next verse now. Manifest with power. And after 6 days, now he's talking at three different levels there, but let's look at the first one. After 6 days, Jesus taketh, let's read together. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John. You'll be Peter, James, and John. In Jesus' name, amen. He didn't take more than that. And led them up into a high mountain, which is the place of prayer, apart by themselves. So they were apart. To really see the glory, that sometimes you have to go apart. Okay, and he was transfigured before them. Next verse. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Glory. Now the glory was always there. But what the Holy Spirit did on the Mount of Transfiguration was that he just let it show. Because he's talking about glory. In Mark 38, verse 38, in the 8:38, something about glory of the Father. So he said, this glory of there is not fury. It's actually, so let me give you guys a peek. You will be in the inner circle in Jesus' name. It was only the inner circle that saw the peak. You will be qualified to see the peak in Jesus' name. So they saw a bit of it. So they saw him transfigured. You know, the Bible says his raiment was shining white. But glory was there. The Holy Spirit just took the veil of the flesh off. He saw it, you know, and then Peter didn't know what to just started talking. No, but so then he closed it again. That's one level, because he saw the kingdom that was the kingdom come with power. That was one fulfillment of verse 1. The next fulfillment was Acts chapter 2 verse 4, when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Amen. Bible says in cloven tongues of fire. You know, so again, Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So again, that was the kingdom of God come with power. Again, that's, and then so that the first one of the transfiguration was a demonstration, just to show you and I and Peter, James, and John, and the Peter, James, and John company that the glory is real, amen, and the glory is tangible. Okay, then in Acts 2:4, he showed us that we can get the earnest of that glory. And the last one is the one that he has reserved for you and I. Amen. Give God a clap of you. Amen. The last one is the fullness of that glory. That fullness is available to you and I. If he did the demonstration, if he did the earnest, certainly, brethren, he's going to do the fullness. Amen. And you're going to be a partaker in Jesus' name. Alright, so glory is always present, but it's not always manifest. But there's a way you can see the effect if you are alert in the spirit. Amen. And God's going to show us, because we're in the inner circle in Jesus' name. And don't go out of the inner circle. The glory we're expecting now is the manifestation of the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure. We know that the Bible says that this beginning of miracles did Jesus in John 2:11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus and manifested forth his glory. So that's the one of the Spirit without measure. That's the fullness of it, you know, that we're expecting. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. It's the scripture that Pastor has quoted. 2 Thessalonians 2, 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many people want the glory? You're going to get it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the will of God for you, okay? By the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. Alright, so that's the will of God. Now, how does God want? There is a pattern that God used, that God wants us to follow in order to get the glory. There's a pattern. If you look at Psalm 102 verse 16, quickly, there's a pattern in the word of God. Psalm 102 verse 16. Yes. It says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Amen. Alright? So, what does the Lord do first before He appears in glory? He builds up Zion. So, that's what God is doing now. He's building up Zion. But as you are being built up, glory is being deposited. And as the degree to which you are built is the degree to which glory will be deposited. But it's not always manifest. But you can begin to see the signs, because once it's there, you can't hide it. Just like Jesus, no, like God did for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, fine. All right, now look at Proverbs 24, verse 27. Now let's read it together. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thy house. What does this mean? I didn't understand it for years. Years. No, but God is unscrolling, He's opening up the scriptures. Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at, so before you can build your house, what does God do? He teaches you to prepare your work where? Without. Then make it fit for yourself where? In the field. Then you build your house. God will help us to open it up in Jesus' name. All right. So where does this begin? No, God has given us the earnest. We said that. And with the earnest, you must use the earnest faithfully so that you can qualify to receive the fullness. True, do you agree with that? God gave us the earnest, Ephesians 1:14, by the baptism of the earnest of His Spirit. So we receive the earnest when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can't turn to all the scriptures when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's the earnest. Now you're supposed to use that earnest anointing to cleanse out the nature of sin from the soul and the body, and then build love inside. Until you've done that, you are. Working towards, that's what we're supposed to be working towards, qualifying to inherit the glory. Bible says we can be accounted worthy. So you know, so you have to be accounted worthy to inherit. And let's see how God will. So the first thing here is prepare your work where? Without. That's the first thing. Now that talks about doing the first works of prayer. Okay? And reading and study and obedience to the word, you know, which is not done publicly, it's done privately. That's why the Bible says that when you get to your closet, what do? You shut your door and then you pray to your Father where? In secret. And then Father who sees in secret will do what? Reward you openly. Now, he rewards you openly with the answer for your prayer, but really, 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 he's rewarding you openly with the glory. That's what he's saying. Think of it in the glory context. Alright? So how do you do that? The first is you begin to learn to pray. We begin to use the life of God to pray. That's very key. Because glory has life as its parent source. Just like you have crude oil as the parent source of premium motor spirit, is the premium source of hydrocarbons, of kerosene, of diesel. It's all coming from crude. It's the same. So life is key. And the quantity of it is important. That's why when this understanding that we can receive the life of God into our spirits and pray in the spirit, so out of our belly can flow rivers of the water, is critical in this day. It's actually critical because, you know, even when you don't pray with the life of God, you don't receive the life of God deliberately, you still, because you interact with God and God is life, you still get some life. If you praise and worship God, like Pastor has taught us, you get some life. You know, if you read your Bible, you get some life. But how much Bible will you read that will fill your heart to abundance with the life of God? How many verses every time you want to pray? That's why God gave us in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's quickly go there. Thank you. It says, grace and peace be what? Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Next verse. According as His divine power. So God, by His power, has made some things available. It's compressed and made some special things available. Has given unto us all things that pertain unto life, which is the substance, and godliness, which is the effect of substance or love, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is who is the Word of God, we have specific scriptures that promise us the life of God. It's a very important, because it makes everything you want to do efficient. And efficiency is important. Diligence is important. To be able to get to where we're going. Amen. Next verse. Thank you. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises.
He's talking, keep it in this context of life and godliness. He's talking about promises that give us access to life and godliness, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So that divine nature is key. As we are praying with the life of God, the divine nature, that divine nature has life. In the Bible, talks about the light of life in John 8:12. So that light begins to illuminate your understanding. It's very important. The second thing is the Word of God. Everybody say the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is important because we begin to hear the Word of God. And the kind of word that we hear is important. The Bible talks in Acts 20:32 about the whole counsel of God. Now, that whole counsel of God is critical. Because as you see, look at Matthew 16. Let's look at Matthew 16 quickly. Verse 16 to 18. They're working with the Word of God. Because everybody has the Word of God. You know, when it's as a Christian, you read the Word of God. So you can see what the disciples were going through here. Yes. And Simon Peter, okay. Verse 15. We know this story, but we'll just quickly read it. But he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? It's very important to be able to build. You must know who Jesus is by revelation. They were walking with him. He says, what did the people say? They say some rabbi, some prophet. But what do you say? So he's talking about something personal. Look at what Peter now says. That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next verse. And Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou who, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. This is what we call revelation knowledge. Knowledge from the Holy Spirit that reveals what is hidden, you know, in the scriptures. So it's there in the scriptures, but you can't see it in black and white. But then that knowledge is key, because without it, you will not be able to build. Look at the next verse. He says, and I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter per se as a person, but the rock of revelation knowledge, will I do what? Build my church. So until we start walking in revelation knowledge and seeing what Christ is like, they put it this way, like Pastor has taught us many times, it's like seeing a video of what was in the heart of God when God wrote that portion of the scripture. Amen. And then your heart just drops. Wow, man, now I understand what you were saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what he's talking about. Like this one that we're talking about, prepare your work without now. The work he's talking about is the work of dealing with the heart and preparing the heart. For Bible says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So you're preparing the heart. Amen. Right. So we, apart from praying with the life of God, we also begin to examine our hearts in the light of the revelation of Christ in you. Bible talks about Colossians 1:27 tells us that this is the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of godliness. Christ in you, the what? Hope of. So glory is the end point. The hope of glory. Christ in you. So we must get that. That's where the word of God that you listen to is important. Because you know, when you listen to the word of God, you must listen to the spiritual fathers. Because spiritual fathers give you revelation knowledge. Bible talks about the fruit of good treasure. Deep revelation knowledge from the word of God, which gives you keys that you can now use to, on your own, begin to unlock scriptures. Amen. It's that revelation knowledge that enables you to begin to prepare your heart and then also to build. It's very important. So that's why the quality of the word is not all the everywhere that you can take the word that they preach and use it to build. Because really, building is practice. And until you get a revelation of something, you can't practice it. Because it's difficult to practice. So that's why that is so important, you know. And God has given us in the church, you know, his servants, apostles and prophets. Bible calls them wise master builders. Amen. It is all, they are the foundation upon which church in Ephesians 12, upon which the church is built. What is their job? Their job is to lay a foundation in our hearts. Amen. They give us the complete, the epignosis of the word. So he gave us the complete knowledge. No, doesn't mean it's everything, but the complete knowledge of the principles of the Christ life. That complete knowledge is important. They give a complete head knowledge. Then they give you some revelation knowledge from the one that they teach you when they preach. And then when you act on it, you get a blade of experiential knowledge. That complete head knowledge, that revelation knowledge, and the blade of experiential knowledge is the foundation. Amen. Upon which we are now going to build unto perfection. So when they have laid that foundation, they keep giving you more. Amen. Because, you know, they teach us the foundational principles, the doctrines of baptism, resurrection from the dead, righteousness, faith toward God, or they do all that. So that's the foundation that they're laying. You hear that, you go for foundational faith classes, you know, you accept what you have been taught, you go back and study it, you get some revelation of your own, you begin to practice it, you pray in the morning, it begins to work for you. That's the foundation. Amen. Then when your foundation is laid in all those areas, God, in his own time and his own wisdom, gives you a permit. So now I begin to go on. But what you must understand is that there is some work that must go on in that heart. Look at Ezekiel 36:25-26. Yes. Let's read together. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be as the word of God. The water of the word of God. Amen. From all your filthiness and from all your they are all in the soul, in the heart, the idols, covetousness, money, visa, ambition, whatever. It's like ice cream. It varies from person to person. Some people is my girlfriend. You know, some people, when we are getting born again, some people got born again because their girlfriends got born again. That's an idol right there. That's an idol right there. You know, and God is waiting. It will take, no, the Bible says the kingdom of God is like a net that brings the good and the bad. So just come. But after, he begins to wash it with the word and remove the idols. We like this. Next verse. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. A heart that is submissive. Amen. That's the work without. Now, with that work without going on at the same time, no, we now come to the next one. Make it fit for yourself in the field. What is the field? The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:15. The Bible says the field is the world. Amen. And the Bible says that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So you now begin to deal with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in the field of your body. Body. Amen. Amen. So God helps us to begin to do that. We begin to. So as you are working on your soul, you're also working on your body. You are crucifying the flesh. You are mortifying those desires. You know, you are beginning to flush out those infirmities. The things that have dominion over you, you begin to deal with them. And it's a work. Look at Jeremiah 1:10. By the mercy and grace of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Right. Let's read it together. Say, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. Now, stop. Their kingdom is anything that Bible talks about kingdom in the dominion of the king, isn't it? Right. Now, take it away from the literal, because word of God is true at different levels. It's true figuratively. It's true literally. Okay, it's true in many respects. Now, I want to use this word nation as imagination. Where you sin at the thought level. And kingdoms being anything that dominates you. Food, sleep. You know? So, really, he's saying that I have set you this day over. We're actually over those imaginations. You can control those desires. You can control those thoughts. Those nations and those feelings are under our control. That's what he's saying. How do you do it? To root out. You pull down. And to destroy. And to throw down. That's the work you're doing. When you're preparing your work with that. That's the work. It's serious work. You pull down. When you pray with travail, you pull down. You know. When you pray with supplication, you pull down. You throw down. Cast down imaginations. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And it's progressive. So you enter into land and you begin to fight. The same thing in Joshua. When they were going to enter into land, they had to fight. You fight. It's the same way. We fight and then we occupy. We fight and then we occupy. Then we fight and then we occupy. And then when we have occupied, we can build. It's our land now. Anywhere we have occupied and it's our land, we can build. You know, but the first thing is to prepare the work without, get ourselves together and fight, you know, that good fight of it, and then we can build. So that's what we're doing. We're pulling down nations in our hearts and changing that heart to a heart of flesh. We are beginning to crucify and mortify the body so that we can begin to control the body by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we can see the role that prayer plays in this regard. And now we can then begin to build the love of God. We now can begin to obey, you know, the instructions of the Word of God. You can now begin to act on the Word of God. Bible's love is patient and kind. You can begin to learn to be unselfish. You begin to learn to put all God first, and then others second, and then you third. You know, you then begin to, yes, you don't know that that's the order. And who is first? God. The people are not first. That's humanism. God is first. Then, or you prefer others in love according to the will of God. You know, and then you now come last. Except God says, no, you come second. Then you come second. Only by the will of God. But the rule you always follow is God first, other second, me third. So it's a whole different ball game. We have to learn it. You are very quiet this evening. In Jesus' name we have life. Amen. But I'm preaching the word of God, isn't it? You're right. Okay, fine. So we don't worry, we're going to get there. Alright? And you begin to build the love of God into that soul and body, isn't it? As you build a house. And you begin to build according to specifications in the word of God. Length. Okay. Length, breadth, depth, and height. Oga, Oji, Ofe. Alright? It's the height, isn't it? You begin to walk in love. You practice love. Amen. And that's how you are building. And so you need brethren to help you to build. Because they don't irritate you or annoy you or frustrate you or provoke you. How will you build? Amen. So give those brethren a super clap offering that have been helping you to build. Think of them as your friend. They are not your enemy. They are your friend. Because without them, you will not be able to build. So you have to understand it, that they are helping you to get to your goal. And then, you know, and that's what happens. So you have these silent years where you're building and you're building. But the more you build love, the more you increase in glory. And my mommy shared one beautiful scripture at the beginning of the year. It's amazing. I'm just understanding it properly in the context. You know, that's why it tells you how far fathers are ahead. You know how far. You just understood it now when she has said it since January 1st. Okay? Now it's Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. It says, sow to yourself in righteousness, or in love, or in obedience, and what do? You reap in mercy. Now, this is the truth there. As we sow to ourselves in obedience and in acts of love, what happens is that you actually receive life back. Mercy, life from the outside, oppressed upon your will, oppressed upon your soul, oppressed upon your body. Do you understand? And you know, as it were, it enables you to continue in obedience. So obedience breeds obedience, and disobedience hinders the process. Do you see the point? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Thank you. Are you with me? Do you understand? Fine. Okay. Right. 2 Corinthians 4, 10. Thank you. Say, always bearing about. Let's read together, everybody. Always bearing about. Where? In the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. As self-denial, all these that I said, prepare your work with all those ones. All right? Which culminates in the action. All right? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Where? In our body. So with each act of obedience, brethren, you're getting closer to the glory. So whether people are seeing or people are not seeing, whether people are there or people are not there, do it. Because you are increasing the amount of glory that is in your body. Remember, glory is life, light, and love. Alright? It's not. And you see, brethren, there's a progressive triumphing now of death. Or there's a progressive triumphing over death and darkness right now. Right now, because the fathers gave us this word, you know, and you know, I've looked and I'm seeing it live and direct, you know, that you know, Satan's works are being destroyed. they are being destroyed. If you look into your life, you should be seeing those works being destroyed. It's light, it's love, it's life flowing and it's increasing as we await the. This is the rising glory. When you say the glory is rising, it's like you when we're in the lab in those days, you know, you're feeling a measuring cylinder water. You have poured water in, the thing is rising. The deposit, the place we want to deposit the power and the life is in the body. So the more we act in obedience as we prepare our hearts and pray and obey and walk in love and do, the more we begin to deposit life. Because the Bible says that always bearing about the dying of the body, that the life also might be made manifest. Now it's manifest, it's right there, it's being pumped there. Amen. Alright, okay. So we see that. Now that's what God is doing. And if you look, you know, everything, even if you look at Jesus' experience, you will see this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he increased in the demonstration of the glory of God. We know that he received the power of the Spirit without measure, isn't it? Before he began his ministry, okay? He received it and the Holy Spirit came upon him and all that. And then he went to the wilderness and all that. And, you know, he was making sure that there were no loopholes. God was really making sure, preparing him to make sure that with all that power, there were no loopholes. And that's what God is doing now. Making sure that love is perfected. Love is perfected. Love is perfected for the fathers and then also for us, their children. Amen. Also walking in their footsteps. We are perfecting the love of God. And if you look at Jesus, there was a time when he did the water and wine miracle. Then he was progressive. Then, you know, if you look in the Bible, you will see other miracles like the woman with the issue of blood. You know, then you will see the raising up of Jairus' daughter, which the woman with the issue of blood was healed after 1 hour. It wasn't immediate. Then you get to miracles like Jairus' daughter, where she had just died. And then, you know, she was raised from dead right there. Then you get to people like Lazarus that were dead 4 days. Is the glory is not the same, oh? Is increased. You're looking at me as if I'm saying something that I'm talking about space. I'm talking about space. Space theology. Brethren, this is reality. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. You think he just did it, Son of God? No, everything was measured. So even in having the Spirit without measure, there was a growth in the demonstration of it. It tells you that the same way there was a growth there, there was a growth in being able to receive it. Because it's not just that there was a process. God is not spooky, folks. Otherwise, Jesus would have come as a baby from heaven or just come live as a full-grown man. What will you say? Will you say, it's not correct? What will you say, would you really leave? How will you say? Or you come like the baby floating from the air and the baby just gets up and says, does somebody have milk around? Somebody give me milk? None. You know, God is not. God follows normal things, normal process. He obeys laws. God is the law. And if you're going to, if you want to manifest glory, you will also obey laws. And you will manifest, the Bible says the Son of God was made under the law. You are also being made under the law. Amen. That's the will of God. Now, why is it important? Now, we must learn to be faithful in using the earnest, because really now, there's a question. Men are asking, where is our God? And anytime we do things that do not make God visible, we allow the name of God to be blasphemed. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Okay, and so anytime you know you because God allows us, Bible says that always bearing about in the body. So God allows us to come to situations where the life of God will be made manifest. It can be manifest in the love of God that you demonstrate. It can be manifest in the healing that you lay hand on somebody. It can be manifest in the insight you give a person. It can manifest as love, life, or light. It can manifest as power. But it must be manifest. That's what we're saying. It can be manifest. And you don't have to, we're not waiting. We're looking at it rising. And we are eager. Because as you see it rising, you begin to know, I can imagine how Peter, James, and John felt when they saw the transfiguration. Like, oh God. Ah, eyi wa le ni e ko ko sin kan. Ah, this is a new level. That's why I told people that, and you told them, shut up. I mean, they're all the while. Brethren, the glory is around. It's around. So right now, is that like, begin to look for it. Begin to act towards, begin to release it. Because that's what we're looking for. So that's the first reason. We want the life of God to be made manifest in our minds, manifest in our bodies. You know, we have begun to have worry, begin to have victory over worry. People look at you, why are you so calm? And don't you know that we have a problem here? You have no victory. You have victory over sexual immorality. And you know, people just look at you. How do you do? You don't even know all the people in the office. Nobody. We see the way you behave. You don't talk with us when we do all these things. How come all these men that are in the office, they don't even come to you? Why would they come? There's a false field. His glory is emitting. It's invisible. So they just, when it comes to their thought, the thing will just kill it. Bah, perish the thought. Go another place. And they're just silent. Just living your life. Just doing normal things. And yet the glory is there working. Invisible. Impenetrable. Amen. All right. So give God a clap on me. That's to God's own glory. All right. Also, you have victory over offense. Somebody spoke to you somehow. And the presence of everybody. And you respond, is a sign, brethren, that your own is different. Nothing can annoy that guy. He's calm. She's cool. I remember the day when I can't forget. You know, again, you know, you can only talk about what you know. You can't talk about what you don't know, because when you talk about Bibles and that, you people, you look as if I'm talking about pie in the sky. So let me talk about mommy, because at least I've worked with that a little bit. There was a time when something happened. Aunt Gloria was there. And somebody was very rude to mommy. Publicly! Abima. Very rude to mommy. And people were like, and mommy was still saying, please. They could not believe it. That a woman of her stature and her stand can take it lying down. Mommy knelt down and was begging. Do you know that was it 1 year? Or after a certain time? In God, in His own wisdom, I'm talking about increasing glory. There was a time, there was a level of glory that thing happened. Isn't it? There was a certain level of glory that thing happened. Then, after a certain time, the same man came back to come and apologize publicly. In front of the same, almost the same set of people where he did it. It's a witness, but it's not accidental. That's what I'm saying. It's not accidental. The same, amen. Give God the glory. Amen. That's why we are fathers. The glory is rising. If you look at them, you can see the glory is rising. You can see the glory is rising. I can give my own testimony. My daughter was, at one time, she aspirated. Aspirated means food goes the wrong way. Okay? And they called mommy, and let's say the time between when they called her and when they got across to her, for argument's sake, was about 45 minutes. This thing kills people in minutes. In minutes. Okay? So they called her. Bring the child to me right now. Bam, they entered the car. She parked her car, waited for them, got the car, went to USA. Let's say it takes to get to USA another 45 minutes. We're talking about 1.5 hours. To get the doctor there with another 20-30 minutes. We're talking about 2 hours. Stop. Life of God, stop that process right there. Right there, until doctors could get. It's glory. It's not normal. You can't just raise the dead immediately like that. You will see a progressive rise where physical laws are being defied. They are being suspended. They are being broken. And then you see it, and it's then, for that period of time, 2 hours. Then, mommy herself, with her own man, gave us testimony here, isn't it? About her sister. How long was that? 1 week! Someone that didn't have pulse, no blood pressure. I mean, is it only me that had it? We had it together now. So I'm comparing 2 hours with how many now? 168 hours. Yes, 1 week. 24 times 7. 1 week. So who knows where we are going? And there are other ones that it's not lawful for me to tell you. Where they have stood in the gap that you know. That I don't know in your own personal life, where they have stood in the gap. What is it? Glory rising. It's rising. So the same way, we must let glory rise in our own lives. Rise in your will. No offense. No covetousness. Rise in your mind. No worry. You know, victory over sexual immorality. Rise in your body. You know, you begin to look younger. Amen. And brethren, yes, so, I mean, if you see Pastor and Mommy, will you believe that they are their age? By the mercy and the grace of God. I mean, people, the testimonies where they mistake their daughter for their as sisters. They consider them to be sisters. You know, it's glory working in the mortal body. Okay, glory can also, in your own life, in my own life, it can stop illness process. You know, illness process is progressive. It's more or less, it just continues. You know what I mean? It gets worse and worse and worse. Alright? But as I'm saying, you can stop the progression until the time your divine healing comes. But then believe it. Even when it comes to, we're believing God for fruit of the womb, you can have glory walking in there, underneath, on loosening the burdens, untangling things, working things. All of a sudden, the atom just come, boom! And there will be conception. And then now say, but that's God doesn't break laws. He works through normal processes. Cells, you know, all those at the microcellular level, it begins to work. That's how God does it. So, brethren, let our faith increase for it. Amen. Number two, we must focus more on the fruit of the Spirit, which is Christ's character, than on material and financial prosperity. It's very important. Very important. And to this end, I want to share a story. You know, our thought pattern, our habits, our lifestyle must reflect. It's not mouth, though. Thought pattern, habits, and lifestyle must reflect that having Christ's character or divine love is more important to you than material and financial resources. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them. Let's read together. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Your ground bring forth plentiful in Jesus' name. You didn't say amen. You didn't say amen. Okay. And he thought within himself, saying, what should I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. The first thing that came to his mind was his fruits. Next verse. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. I thought it was only fruit before. Now it's become two. It's become fruits and goods. Next verse. You see this human heart. If we don't pull it down, if we don't deal with things, you see this human heart. It will just play you, just what they call it Siri. It will just say, I'm going here. This is where it's going. Next verse. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much. What happened to the fruit? A gradual decay, a gradual luring away. It's gone from fruit, and now the emphasis is on goods. That's why I now said to my soul, soul, take thy ease. If you are pulling down in the stronghold and throwing down and casting down, there is no ease there. There's work going on. There's noise. There's work going on. So you can see, So, and then next verse. And God said to me, thou fool, will not be foolish in Jesus' name. What are we saying? Our priorities must be right. Bible says righteousness delivereth from death. Money cannot deliver from death, though. The excellence, money is a defense, no doubt. The Bible says so. But wisdom, love, is also a defense. And the excellence of wisdom is that it gives life to them that have it. It will give you more life in your mortal body. So you will get the money, but you won't get it as immediately as somebody who gave up so many things, the fruit of the Spirit, to get it. You will still get it. And when you get it, you will now have the lifespan and the long life and the peace of mind to enjoy the money. Which is why we spend our days in pleasure and our years in prosperity. That's the will of God for us. Amen. All right. And number three, Christ's character is built and increases through the exercise of love in our relationships. I've already mentioned that. Length, breadth, depth, and height. But I want to just mention there are certain areas that I want us to look out for. You know, it's very important that we conduct ourselves in a godly manner. We must let our light shine. Look at 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy, but be thou an example. No man despise thy, but be thou an example. Be thou what? An example of who? The believers. Where? In word, conversation or conduct, charity or good works, in spirit, attitude. That thing that mom sent to us, that Pastor Dave was talking about, attitude. In what? Faith. And in purity. That faith is love, because faith works by love. And in purity, the purity of your heart, the purity of the songs you sing, purity of your thoughts, the purity of your jokes, the purity of your actions. It must be pure. Amen. Alright. Now, some things we need to look out for. One, cares. Those things steal our time. That is legitimate things. Family, work, leisure is steal our time. Alright. Two, money. Ego. You need to be careful about money. Okay. Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. You have to choose. And here, you know, be ready to practice love even if you have to lose money. Brethren, you know, it seems obvious. So be ready to practice love even if you have to lose money sometimes. Because brethren, I must confess to you, sometimes, not sometimes, money has power to dictate decisions. You just know what to do. You don't have to think about it much. Because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. No, money is not bad, but it's the love of it. And that love is where? In the heart. So until we deal with the heart, really, money has a hold. And that's why you must always be careful about money. Don't let it dictate what you do. No, sometimes, I must confess, sometimes it does it automatically. You would have done it first before you thought about it. You know, it's when it's like, can you ever remove money from the equation? And even see the question without money being there. You know, sometimes that's very hard. Pastor Kunle, you're talking about millions. Remove it from, what's the meaning of that? It's because you don't know what money is. But the fathers do is, they remove money from the equation. Money doesn't matter. And I've seen God answer. See, favor is greater than money. Amen. If you have money, and you have a problem that money cannot buy the solution, what are you going to do? So it's better to be on God's side. But sometimes it's hard because there's a sense of, they're cheating me. Nobody can cheat me. If God says, let it go. He's wiser than you. And the people that take it can bring it back. And if they take it, even they don't bring it back, because I've seen that work even for the fathers. They will take it and they will bring it back. God will see to it that they will bring it back. Why are you fighting your own battle yourself? Let God fight for you. But it's easier said than done. But you must understand, these are just flashpoints. Note that money, watch out for it, because it affects decision making. And don't make the wrong decision because of money. Number three, strife. Make sure you avoid strife, because those things they open the back door, they leak. You know, you'll be praying, and when it now comes to exercising the law and sowing to yourself in righteousness, they will just give you a sliding tackle. And you are down, you don't even know what happened, you don't know where the guy came from. There's something in a card game, they use joker. You know, a joker is one, something that does not fail, it's a superior card. So, you know, you have to take Satan's jokers from him in your life. Take away the jokers. You think that once he plays like this, you look at your card and say, collect proper joker card from Jesus. And that joker card not loving your life unto the death. He's a joker. He's a divine joker. When he plays his own, see what you are losing. Play your own joker. And you will overcome him. Because God's joker is bigger than his own joker. Amen.
How do we then do these things? One, we must cultivate right attitudes.
Everything is about, the attitude is about everything.
Attitude is everything. Number one, reverence for God. That's Hebrews. Reverence for God is very important. So you submit fully to God and to His word in your heart. Amen. It's very important. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 to 4. Because really, when you talk about submission to God, it's abstract. I love God, I love God, I love God. Well, let's see in the word. That's how we know if a person really loves God. Let's see how much you're willing to obey the word, even at the risk of losing something. Alright? Bible says, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Next verse. He is what? Proud. Full stop. So you have to submit to the whole word and the doctrine according to godliness. Submit. Alright? And there particularly, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. Give that to me in the Message Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8, Message Bible. Let's read this together, brethren. Let's read together. This is where we're going. This is what we need to have more of. Love never gives up. I didn't hear you. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what he doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Hello? Doesn't have a swelled head. Next verse. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of Olam Shanua. Next verse. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. No, when people are begging. Yeah, very good. Yes. It's not love. Takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth. Next verse. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Next verse. Love never dies. Love doesn't die. That's what we're adding more of. So just as I run that by you, just ask yourself how much of that I have and keep pressing on to increase in it in Jesus' name. All right, now you reverence spiritual fathers by full submission. We saw that, by full submission and open bowels. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:13. Your bowel must be open. When they ask a question, you answer the question completely. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See, brethren, this is not to put anybody down. We're all growing. Do you understand? But if that bowel is not open, you are limiting the amount of, you are limiting the sufficiency of the life that you are receiving. You understand? And you cannot give what you have not received. So really, you must make sure that these attitudes are key, because they allow your heart. Bible says, a sound heart is the what? Life of the flesh. Proverbs 14:30. It is when the heart is sound. That's why you can build. If you are having water problem and you want to mix concrete, how will you build? Akumasomi. There's no river? No. There is no tap? No. Let's use saliva. How much saliva will you use to mix concrete to build the house? I'm just asking you. So but you are laughing. But the truth of the matter is that's how we behave when we want to build love. The thing is trickling. It's so small. And we say it's okay. Mix there. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. A sound, open up your bowel. Say, now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto you as to my children, be ye also enlarged. Only you can enlarge it. Only me can enlarge it. It's a choice. Enlarge. So it's exercise. You exercise. And as you exercise, you enlarge. Amen. And then you begin to... And then also it's also important to make sure that, you meditate Okay, next one. Esteem your peers as better than you.
Esteem your peers. That's in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 to 4.
You know, quickly, Philippians 2, 2 to 4. Yes, okay, give me verse 3, quickly.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
You have colleagues. In your heart, you esteem them better. There may be some areas where you are better, but look for areas where they are better than you. There are areas where they are better than you. Don't tell me there are no areas where they are better than you. There are areas where they are better. If it's in generosity, they are better than you. If it's not, it may not be the core work.
So look for someone with and say, esteem them. For that, it's a part of God in them that you are honoring the God who gave them. It's very important. So you honor, you esteem them. This person is, I like them. So it always puts your heart in a place where you're able to receive from them. It's very important. Otherwise, you don't, your heart will just get puffed up. It's very easy.
Then, of course, respect those below us and submit when what they say is in line with the word of God. It's very important. 1 Peter 2:17. 1 Peter 2:17, I have that here. 1 Peter 2:17. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Pastor taught us a few weeks ago, I can remember. Honor all men. As the one that is your help in the house, honor all men. Security man, honor all men. Don't talk to people anyhow. You know, I mean, it says that don't be rude. I mean, sometimes a person, you may rebuke a person, but you can rebuke without insulting. You have to learn it. And if you haven't learned it, then ask God, let my speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so I know how I ought to answer every man. It's very important. You put it there so that you can learn it and train yourself. So that's about attitude. Next thing is obedience. We must obey instruction promptly and completely. Look at Proverbs 4:13. Proverbs 4:13. Give it to me in the Amplified. Proverbs 4:13. Amplified. Yes. Let's read together. Take firm hold of what? Instruction. Do not let her go. Guard her, for she is that. So you guard her. And when there is no instruction, ask for one. Where there is no instruction, ask for one. You never lose asking. I found out, you know, sometimes, you know, something happened recently. When Pastor Ome asked me to do something, you know, and I did what I thought was okay. And I've made that several times. I've done something and it's been okay, you know. And then I just did it and I said, this is what I've done. And they didn't even ask me. They didn't tell me directly. They told me through somebody who told somebody who told me. I'm telling you. And something that I've done. So I was like, this one is not. Someone just said, ask. So I just wrote a short email and I asked. And early in the morning, mommy called me. What you did is wrong. You should have done it this way. She didn't even say it like that. She was very nice about it. But the bottom line is, she was wrong. You know, but you could do it like this, do it like this, do it like this. It's better that way. And then do it like this. I learned a lesson. I was thanking her. But you know, if I didn't ask, I'd have just gone and made a fool of myself. So where there is no instruction, brethren, ask. You don't lose anything. You're always asking too much. The day you hear that response, you are ready to be glorified. The day you hear, you're always asking too much, it's now time for you to be, no, and now you are going to attain perfection. No, you're not going to hear that response. You're going to hear, well done. That's correct. No, go ahead and do that. Yeah. That's the way it is. Always ask. Bible says, Jesus Christ said that you know, when the Pharisees were, he's Son of God, done miracles. The Bible said they were provoking him. And he said he made a statement. He said, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. So bottom line is, interpretation is, keep my mouth shut. Because God didn't tell me. So when God told him in Matthew 23 and called them brood of viper, sepulchre, it's God. Can you do that? Wait brethren. Bible says it's the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. It's glory. It's glory. That power to suppress it is glory being demonstrated. He hasn't done any miracle, but it's just as much glory as the changing water to wine. It takes power to do that. It's the glory of a man to pass over the transgression. It's glory. I didn't make that up. That's in the word of God. Okay? Right. Number three, operate seven pillars of wisdom. That is what you need. That is the complete evidence you need. Is that the what you need to practice in order to pull down the strongholds and cast down the imaginations and root out and throw down and build and plant? That's what you need. Because it's in trying to, is that that really sets into operation the forces of life. So look at seven pillars, please. Thank you. Seven pillars. It's very important. Brethren, you may not be doing everything perfectly, but you must be doing all seven at a level. Amen. Fear of God, honest and you must be doing that at a level. Honest and humility, because honest and humility is what causes the mountains to become a plain. What? Because in our soul, we have mountains that are supposed to become plains. Amen. Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5. Amen. Mountains are going to become plains. Go and read the weekly Rema. No, preparing to inherit the glory. Preparing to inherit the glory. You need that. That's the weekly Rema. I mean, every weekly Rema you need. So, but, I mean, I'm every weekly Rema you need. But, you know, just start somewhere. because there is a bank of years, you know. But, I mean, start somewhere and the fear of God. It is honest and humility that you need to make the mountain of pride that makes you think of yourself more highly than you ought. You estimate yourself spiritually higher than you really are. Is that the one you need to bring it down? All right. Then battle prayer. Obviously, battle prayer. You need to overcome Satan and create an open heavens. Communion prayer. You now need that to build yourself up, to grow, isn't it? You know, you need to, you know, to grow in all this we're talking about, meekness, temperance, patience. You know, that's how you grow. That you stay in the love of God. It keeps you, you know, within, you stay within the margin of love. Because the love of Christ constrains us. So that means that there are boundaries. The love of Christ has boundaries. So that communion prayer, but battle prayer will not do the work of communion prayer. And communion prayer will not do the work of battle prayer. Everyone is important in their place. Pastor often tells us that. Binding the devil, confession of the word, meditation of the word, practice the word of God, and fasting and living. You must be doing at one level of this. Very important. I want to talk about confession. There are commandment confessions. There are general confessions. You must do them. Now, you may not do everything perfectly. Are you listening to me? You don't have to do everything perfectly. But start and be checking where you are. So if there's one that say every day, if you can't do it every day, okay, do at least 3 times a week, 4 times a week, do something. It will fill one gap. Then so you have everything in place. You're not doing everything yet, but you're obeying all the instructions. You understand? Rather than to pray, everything, solution to everything is not prayer. Thank God for Pastor his message on Sunday. Prayer will not take place of doing the word. That's what we learned on Sunday. Not take place of doing the word. Doing the word has its place. Okay? Right. All right. So, next one, watch and pray always. All right? We know that once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, and in every time. So, you watch and pray. You confess the word. You pray in the spirit. We've been well taught. Those are things that we have to check up. And then finally, obey natural laws. Pay your tithe. We know, and that's extremely important, because if you don't pay your tithe and your offering, that's even a spiritual law. But it so happens, I wanted to say tax and I said tithe. That's the Holy Spirit. God wanted me to get on our case. Just to remind, I can't get on your case. I don't have the authority. Yeah. All right, but I mean, I can tell you what God said, and He has the authority. All right, so, and it is this: you know, if you don't pay your tithe and offering, like Mommy taught us so beautifully, Satan can destroy the fruit of your ground. And the fruit of your ground is love. It's fruit. You know, just build your house. When you build your house, you hide inside there. When Saul was chasing David, where did David hide? Strongholds. He hid in a stronghold of Engedi. In the stronghold, he will hide there. You know, so when what you build, if Satan can pull down and destroy what we build, then we're going back to scratch. That's not good for us. So it's important to pay your tithe and pay your offering. Enough said. Then, of course, you need to now obey the laws of the land. Pay your tax. Be punctual to work. Hello. God will have mercy on all. That ouch was audible. Ouch. Be punctual to work. Okay, God will help us in Jesus' name. Again, aim for it. Make it your habit. And if you don't get it, correct yourself. They call it auto-correct. You know, you correct yourself before somebody comes to correct you. Because God is taking you to a place where your punctuality will be a message of glory. Yeah, so your punctuality will be a message of glory. When the police stop you and they say, oh, guy, your papers. You give your papers, go sister, brethren. Some people put their hand on their head. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is at hand. It's going to my head. Bring out your paper. Bring out your license. You must have it. Bring out your particulars. And show them and be nice to them and be polite. And they will say, this is the true Nigerian. It's glory. Watch what you eat. Diet. Amen. Exercise. It's a natural law. Better than exercise. You know, you can be breaking it for a time, but you know, God is not there. Don't say, God, I'm breaking with your permission. God does not break laws. So whose child are you? Where did you learn that from? God will help us in Jesus' name. Alright. Of course, natural medicine and hygiene, so you be clean. And of course, natural medicine, take your medicine. If you need to use medicine when you need to, of course. And then regular checkups. These are physical laws. Keep them. Why? Because you need a healthy body to be able to carry the glory. You need a healthy body to carry the pastor has told us so many times. So we carry the glory. And as you do that, as you build your house and you look after the house of the Lord, which is your body, then you are sure that when the fullness comes, you will qualify and you will inherit. Let us pray. Let us bow our heads. The glory is rising. Is it rising for you? Talk to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Repent. Determine. That the glory of God is going to be manifest in physical things. It's a spiritual entity, but it will manifest in punctuality, in natural things, if there's enough of it in your mortal flesh. So that we translate our Christianity into things that men can see. An example in word, an example in conversation, in your manner of life and your conduct, an example in charity. In a language men can understand. An example in spirit. An example in faith. An example in purity. Let the Holy Spirit help you. He helped Jesus. Every day, like Pastor taught us, set the Lord before you at your right hand. And he will cause you not to be moved. He will cause us not to be moved. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend.
my desire. No one else will do.
No one else will do.
'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Raise up our right hand in faith. Put your hand upon your heart. And I want you to, just under your breath, talk to God. And tell Him, Lord, help me. Help me to see the little things that you do that are glory, to appreciate them. So my running and my willing will have a focus. And my hands will not be weary. My hands will not be slack. Alright, let's now pray together. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that it is your will for me to obtain the glory. And to obtain the glory, I must be faithful in using the earnest to cultivate and develop and build the love of God, so that the life of God is manifest in my mortal flesh. Help me, Father. Help me. I ask for mercy, to be faithful, to be sincere, to fear you, and to walk before you in honesty and humility, to be diligent in my relationship with the Holy Spirit, in battle prayer, in communion prayer, in my oppression of the seven pillars, and in the practice of the love of God in every situation, so that gradually, day by day, moment by moment, I will sow to myself in righteousness, and I will reap in mercy. Mercy to be faithful, mercy to triumph in every situation. Help me, Father, so that I'll be faithful by your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rapakare, jeka konga de babas tua bakakai, renda babababadi tua baka, resama babababakate be, rapakatoa, ringamat, rapakat, rekeko, rapakai, jovaria, ranedes, rapakade, renebabopaya, rapakadoa, rapakaso, renedef,
rede de vesa, recambare qua pocata, gera no mon pandeia, roba hayo sua boy, o abi aruta ea, roba kato sigeli man, o am bam 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 bala, ranga kale bebeli aba, roba kakaka, jeke le bebeta, rebebelio, merebia, marubo pa pa pa, roba kato beke le bebeli amana, beke le bebeli obo bo 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 sa, rebeka kakoko beke le bebeli ya, rekana manato to, Jelele besat, rebakato belea, randeria, rende vesere lobosa, rabakata, rande bebedikokun.
Help me know you are near. Lord, help me know you're near. Help me.